Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For more perspective on the Phillies, the man that brought this whole thing together this offseason, Phillies general manager Matt Klintak with us here. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. Matt, wonderful to see you.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me on, guys.
It is. I'll tell you, Matt, it's funny. I remember, John, right as free agency was about to launch, I guess maybe a day or two before it began, you joined our program, which we were, you know, we were happy to get you on, and we knew you had big plans, and you were very clear that, you know, big hopes, big dreams, big plans for the offseason. Did the acquisitions that occurred exceed even the expectations realistically that you thought you could do?
Oh, good question. Probably. I think the best way I can answer that is, even at the outset of the offseason, when I met with you guys or when we talked about things with our scouts and talked about them internally and established goals with our owners, as clear as those goals may have been, there still aren't faces on those, you know, or names on the, attached to the things we're trying to achieve. So, you know, there, at that stage, it would have been hard to say it's going to be Harper, it's going to be Realmuto or McCutchen or anything else we did. So, but the key principles we talked about, and I'm sure we did on the show, I don't recall exactly, but we're talking about improving the offense, improving the defense for sure. That was a big one for us, and trying to get better in the back end of the bullpen. So every opportunity that we explored in the offseason was designed to achieve one of those things, or at least one of those things. The Seattle trade actually kind of helped in all three of those areas. But that became our focal point. So while we may not have known exactly what order some of these things would take place, we may not have known if they would come in the form of a free agent signing or a trade, may not have known exactly who the players were going to be. You know, those were the goals that we set out. So from that perspective, you know, what we did does not surprise, but you know, the fact that we were able to do as many things as we did was certainly that was the goal, and we're happy with what we were able to deliver.
We talked to David Robertson yesterday, and he said part of what attracted him to Philly is that this team is going for it. Has Philadelphia become a destination city because we're going for it?
That's probably a better question for the players to answer, you know, especially the guys like that did join this year. You know, I think about a guy like Segura. You know, he had to waive a no-trade clause to come here. So he, in some respects, chose to do this.
Yeah.
McCutchen chose to sign here. Robertson chose to sign here. Harper chose to sign here. And I'm not naive. We offered them a lot of money,
sure,
too. I get that part of it.
But I'll sign here, too, Matt, if you want to give me $330 million. Yeah. By the way, I'll take $329 just for the record.
Yeah.
Talk to our owners, yeah.
That'll get you fired, by the way. You signed the camera for $329 bucks. That'll get you fired.
I think that's probably right.
It would.
You'd be happy. So, you know, I think the only guy that really didn't have a say in it so much would have been Realmuto, right? But he seems very happy. So, I mean, I hope so. I mean, I think that's the goal as you're building a team. You know, you want to create an environment that players are excited to join. You know, your current players are excited to come back every year, come to spring training. You know, they're invested in the progress of the team, and the guys from the outside take notice and say, that's a place I want to come. And, you know, I think the ultimate manifestation of that is when someone like Cliff Lee, you know, signs with the Philadelphia Phillies for less than he was offered elsewhere, because he wanted to join that rotation in that environment. You know, that's probably the exception, not the rule, but certainly we can work to build the core of the team in such a way and build the culture in such a way that it is appealing to players.
You know, it's interesting, Matt, you bring that up, because it almost sounds like you're describing a connectivity. One move can doesn't necessarily, but can influence other moves. Did you view the Realmuto acquisition prior to making it? I think this is something a lot of people have wondered, as a potential extra pathway to Harper?
Well, I don't know if that's, I can say that directly. We're aware that, you know, last summer Harper was kind of publicly lobbying for the Nationals to trade for Realmuto, and the two of them were close. So like there was an awareness there on our part that those two guys were, you know, were close and respected each other as players. I don't know that there was that direct of a tie though, because really at that stage, that was, you know, the week before we came down to spring training, there were still a number of big free agents out there, Bryce included, that we were still talking to. And we kind of had to make the Realmuto trade in a vacuum. You know, do we want this guy? Do we not? Does he help our team? Is the return appropriate? We had to make that with the understanding that we may or may not land another free agent, you know, after this. And you know, we obviously chose to make the trade. Thought it was a good value and a good deal for our club. Certainly makes us better. He's the best catcher in the league. But if that played even a small role in helping to convince Bryce Harper to come here, then that's great. You know, I'd be lying if I said that was the driving force behind that trade. It was not. It was in a vacuum. It was a good decision, we believe, to add sure. JT Realmuto.
If what gives you guys so much faith in the young pitchers not named Aaron Nola on this staff?
I think there are a few things. Number one, for 4.5 months last year, we were one of the best rotations in baseball, driven certainly by Nola and, you know, and Arrieta doing his thing. But really, Eflin, Velasquez, and Pivetta were, you know, a big reason why our club was in first place into mid-August. And they faltered, and I'm not going to shy away from that. They faltered, and frankly, our entire team faltered. But what I think is, all three of those guys have, you know, I'm going to get a little scouty here, but they have top-notch stuff, like big fastballs, big breaking balls. They know how to pitch. They're still young. There's a lot to really like about them. And when I know we didn't change the personnel in the starting rotation from last year to this. I understand why that may be frustrating to some fans that say, you know, what the heck, like, these guys struggled down the stretch, we need to get better. We didn't change the personnel on the mound, but you know what we did do? We changed the defense behind them, we changed the bullpen that comes into the game after them, and we improved the offense, which gives them a heck of a lot more margin for error. So I actually believe that we did a lot to improve and bolster the rotation without actually changing any of the names.
There's one notable starter available still out there. Is there any chance that you would add to this staff at this point?
I think right now we are focused on our guys. We made something like 16 cuts yesterday to get it down mm-hmm. to our group, and we are focused on these guys.
Matt Klintak with us here, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, and Clearwater. Matt, you know, you bring up the bullpen. David Robertson, we spoke to him yesterday, and he referenced that he's not the closer. He's going to be a guy that will close from time to time. Obviously, others would be involved. Sir Anthony, I'm sure, most notably as well. Organizationally, do you view the closer role as one that the organization does not want to designate a closer? Or if you had the guy that – if you had Mariano Rivera, would he be someone in a high-leverage situation in the seventh inning? You'd say, we're going to put Rivera in the seventh inning with three on and one out because we need an out right now. Or if you had the ultimate closer, you'd say, this is our closer.
Yeah, it all depends on your personnel. If we had Mariano Rivera, he'd close for us, he'd close for the rest of his career.
And I just want to go to an extreme example.
He's the best of all time. And sure. It doesn't even have to be that extreme. There are plenty of guys that, if we had them, that they would be the closer. And I'm very open to having a designated closer with a capital C. And you know what? So is Cap. And it doesn't mean that – even last year when, you know, we had, I forget, you know, half dozen or so guys achieve a save for us. Sir Anthony was our closer for, well, we started with Neris. Neris was our closer. He got every save opportunity early. He ultimately faltered. We went to more of a committee approach for a while things were settling in. Sir Anthony comes up. Sir Anthony's, you know, who's never pitched in the big leagues. He's only thrown, whatever, he threw 10 innings in AAA. Ease him in a little, which I frankly think is the right way to go about that. Sure. I don't think calling a kid up that quickly and putting him in the ninth inning is the right way to go. He clearly demonstrates that he's fantastic, you know, in a variety of different roles. And by early summer, he's pitching the ninth for us more often than not. So we had a closer for most of the year. So I am, you know, getting back to your question about Robertson, I am, whether it's Sir Anthony, whether it's Robertson, whether it's Neris, my guess is as the season shakes out, we will have more structure to the back of the game than the perception may be. I don't know which guy that's going to be. You know, we never do. You know, it could be that Pat Neshek is back to being what he was a couple years ago and is nails against everybody, right, left, strikeouts, pop-ups, and he settles in as our highest leverage guy, you know, in the eighth inning, and or maybe not. So we've got a lot of depth in our pen. We've got a lot of unique looks, guys who do it a little differently. Certainly Neshek is probably the most unique of that look, but guys with different breaking balls, different types of fastballs, different handedness, and that allows us to put guys in positions to succeed. But the goal is never to it's not an aggressive goal to not name a closer. That's not the point.
Sure.
It's,
okay.
We want to do, you know, whatever's best, and if one guy settles into that, that's great. We'd be happy to have that.
What are your expectations for Scott Kingery this season?
You know, I mean, I think Scott Kingery is a really important player for us, both this year and for the foreseeable future. And we have to continue to, you know, challenge him and get him reps where we can, but also, you know, make sure we're doing what's right for the team. And, you know, right now, I think Scott Kingery, you know, on the team, playing some third, playing some short, playing some second, playing some outfield, is going to be a really vital role. And this is not just in Philadelphia. Throughout baseball, the notion of versatile players, versatility, guys who can do a lot of different things, they're critical to a well-functioning roster, particularly a roster like ours, which is going to likely carry a short bench for much of the year. We'll more than likely have a 4-man bench and a 13-man bullpen, or 13-man pitching staff, I should say. So I think Kingery is going to be a real key to our team. I don't think, you know, if he performs well, or there's an injury or something, we could see him lining up every day at the same position like we did last summer at shortstop. But I think in the early stages, we're likely to see him playing, you know, little third, little day at second or short. If Segura Hernandez need a day off, a day in the outfield, probably getting pinch hit or pinch running appearances every day, and we'll get into the flow of that. And as the season unwinds through injuries and performance fluctuations, we'll just have to adjust. But he's a big part of this, even if, you know, he doesn't look to be a quote unquote starter at one position.
Is this a make or break year for Mikel Franco?
I don't know the answer to that. I think Mikel Franco, you know, has settled in the last few years to be a pretty good offensive player. I know there are some people that think he can and will be more. He's still young. This is a crazy thing. That's when guys debut in the big leagues as young as Mikel did, for example, it's easy to sort of cast them to the side and say, oh, he's not going to get it. He's not getting any better. Forget. He's 26, you know, and there are still a lot of guys that are improving at that juncture of their careers. And, you know, Mikel, we had this kind of a very similar conversation with him at the end of last year. Like, if you want to, you know, kick your career into gear, the off season is really important for you. You know, what your work habits, your eating habits, your, you know, just the way you're taking care of yourself and positioning yourself to come in for a productive and strong season. And he did all that. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and guarantee we're going to get 100 OPS points better from Mikel Franco this year. I don't know that, but I don't think it's crazy when you look at his skill set, when you look at the type of condition he's in, when you look at his age, that he's, you know, still in a juncture where he could get better. And when you look at some of the lineup protection around him, I don't think it's crazy to think Franco could have an improved year this year.
Right. So with this influx of talent, is the bar raised for Gabe Kapler? Your expectations for him, have they increased as well?
I mean, I always have high expectations of any manager. And I had high expectations of Gabe last year. I also had an understanding early, even when we hired him and before we hired him, that a rookie manager is not going to be flawless. That's why there's some value in hiring managers who have managed in the big leagues before. Charlie Manuel walked in here and had managed the Cleveland Indians before he got here. So there's a learning curve. There's an element to the job that Charlie, for example, didn't have to learn on the fly in Philadelphia. Cap had to go through that. Cap went through it in some high profile ways early in the year, and he handled him pretty well as you could expect somebody to handle him, and he learned from him. I'm expecting Cap to continue to he'll make adjustments based on what he learned last year. I think the team the way the team is constructed this year is going to lend itself to fewer lineup changes and early inning pinch hitters and fewer, bullpen, I don't know what the word is, but bullpen challenges that he dealt with last year. The reality is, and I am fully supportive of Cap in this, last year the talent level of our team wasn't enough to go compete with the big dogs in the National League. The only chance we had, we knew this in spring training, the only chance we were going to have was to try to just to try different things and be more creative than everybody else and try to piece together enough wins last year to maintain our competitiveness. And you know what? We did it for 4.5 months. And then eventually the depth and the talent base, was just not there. And it's different. It's unique. I know it's highly scrutinized. I know it's not traditional. It's not the way Charlie or Bo or Dallas Green. I know it's not the way these guys manage the game. But if we look around the league, guys, Cap's not that out there. He's not that revolutionary relative to the other stuff that's going on around the league. So having said all that, I do think this year's roster is going to lend itself to a little bit more of a traditional approach. And I think Cap's very understanding of that. So we'll see. That's a
Matt,
long,
6 days
answer.
From now. No, it makes sense. 6 days from now, this thing gets jumping. It's going to be a sold-out Citizens Bank Park. You're looking forward to just everything up ahead?
Oh, hell yeah. This is the most. This is going to be the coolest opening day I've ever had anywhere. Certainly with the Phillies, but any time in my career, I haven't been back there ever since we signed Harper. But every day we get the reports about ticket sales and jersey sales and just the hype and not only what it means for opening day, but what it means for Saturday and Sunday, the Sunday night baseball game. And I think we may sell out the whole weekend.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And, that's just, it's awesome. I'm excited to get it going. I know the players are. This is always we're just kind of now wrapping up that phase of spring training where there's always kind of a letdown. You're excited early in camp. Then you've got kind of that middle where you kind of let your guard down a little. And then at the end, you get pumped again. You can see the finish line. You know you're a week away. So we're starting to see that guys put up 13 runs yesterday. It's like, I think we're locking in here a little bit. So I'm jacked up. I think it's going to be really fun to get home.
Matt, congrats on a terrific offseason and obviously the real work, kind of starts for the team up ahead here. Good luck this season. You got a lot of people obviously behind the organization hoping for great things and looking forward to seeing it all back live in Philly real soon.
Me too. Thanks, guys.
There he is.
Thanks,
Philly's general manager, Matt Klintak. Joe to camera and John Ritchie. Keep it here. On 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.